It appears we are live. Good morning, everybody. Good morning, Bear Nation. If I can get a quick signals check, that would be phenomenal in the chat. I am Bear with Bear Independent, founder and CEO of RefugeMedical.com, RefugeTraining.com, president of Grindstone Ministries, and president of Caleb House, juvenile human trafficking restoration facility. And today we are going to do the brief. Thank you for the signals check in the chat. I appreciate you all very much. Today we're going to talk about inflation and the economy, a little bit about the aviation industry. We're going to talk about a Russian missile attack on Ukraine overnight, as well as read the national intel that's sent in by you. The email address is intel@bearindependent.com. And of course, as always, if you can't spell Bear Independent, you have self-selected out of the duty, the responsibility to provide intel to the Bear Nation, because it's short for intelligence. Of course, today's show is brought to you by RefugeMedical.com. We'll talk more about that later. If you're new here, welcome. Please click the subscribe button, ring the little bell for the notifications. And if you're not new here, you know what to do. Please share the show with somebody you love. That helps us, YouTube algorithmic robots, in the ongoing war against individual voices here on this platform. Now, the comedian Ron White has two levels of preparedness. One is find a helmet, and the other is put on the damn helmet. And based upon my current understanding, as of this morning, 10 March 23, we're still squarely in the find a helmet phase. So hopefully you found a helmet, you know where it is, and if it's time to put the helmet on, I will do my best to let you all know. Bear Independent Brief, 10 March 23. Good morning to everybody in the chat. I appreciate y'all super duper much. And welcome to all of our new friends who came over from the Suspicious Observers channel. Thank you. Appreciate you. Reports covering the U.S. economy have seemed unusually sunny. The numbers for the labor market, consumer spending, and inflation are all up, up, up. By the way, traditionally speaking, historically speaking, those two things, consumer spending and inflation, do not track together. They are the inverse of one another. I think I just dabbed. I don't know. I don't know how kids dance these days. I think it's this. I don't know. CNN Business recently wrote, quote, America's economic engine is humming along. Although that might sound like good news for Main Street, it's a problem for the Federal Reserve, end quote. Fed President Mary Daly said in a recent speech at Princeton, quote, it's clear there is more work to do. In order to put this episode of high inflation behind us, further policy tightening, maintained for a longer time, will likely be necessary, end quote. In short, the Fed may be looking to raise interest rates higher and higher and keep them that way. Now, practical tactical, what does that mean for us? Strong likelihood of recession, something we've been talking about in earnest for the last couple of years here at this channel. What's the issue with recession is that there's always the possibility that recession leads to depression, which can be economically catastrophic for those that are heavily leveraged, aka have an abundance of debt. And as you know, if you spend any time at this channel, I'm going to tell you over and over again, murder your debt. And people would say, but why? But why? You can't get blood from a stone, Bear. Why am I going to pay the bank all the money that I owe them when, you know, this whole thing's going to hell in a handbasket anyway? What's the point? My answer to that is debtor's prisons. See, Proverbs is real. The rich rule over the poor, and a debtor is a slave to their debt. Proverbs 22:7, I believe. The rich rule over the poor. Well, at some point when your fiat currency is no longer worth anything, your lifeblood is. And when the men with the white van and the guns show up and throw you into the van so you can go work off your debt for the man, because you is what's securing that debt. Orange is not the new black, regardless of what popular mentality might be these days. I don't want to go to a debtor's prison. I don't want to do that. And I think there's a strong possibility to come back as the economy continues to tank. Also, interestingly, the idea that, and again, I'm an amateur at almost everything that I do, including economic intelligence, comma, historically, consumer spending, the labor market, and inflation do not all track together. And it just makes me wonder, these numbers that are being put out, Why are they being put out? We've talked previously about the agendas that the big they have. So what's the purpose of this information being released? Gives you something to think about, gives me something to talk about. But why control that narrative? Bigger question. If we know they control the polls, we know that. If we know they can control an election, not entirely, at least enough to swing the direction of the election one way or another, for 340 million Americans, what in the world makes you think that they don't control the ability to create and disseminate information as well? My supposition is they absolutely do. So I think the Fed is intentionally raising interest rates, because what happens when this happens? The haves and the have-nots reoccur, and it's a historic transfer of wealth. Yet again, another historic transfer of wealth to extract capital from you, the working man, the working woman, put it in the pockets of they. Why? Because they want a high rate of survivability, and that requires capital, which is why you, if you'd like to enjoy a high rate of survivability, should be in charge of as much of your own capital as possible and quit giving it to the banks every month. You know, recoup that cash flow. But I digress. Rates have already been hiked many times, and the typical response is clear: fear. Fear that this will thrust the economy into a recession. Fear that it won't be enough to stop the runaway train of inflation. Either way, it's the little guy that pays the price amid the uncertainty. As foolish as it may be, most investors do react to fear, and that means that the markets are subject to wild swings in response to federal policy decisions. As debt gets more expensive, business and housing markets across the United States adapt, and that gets passed on to consumers. Those looking for housing are getting squeezed tighter and tighter, and small businesses that operate on debt struggle more and more to compete with larger entities that simply have more capital to work with. Now, I would remind you all, those of you who acknowledge that you are property of the Most High, those of you who are believers, that we are not given to a spirit of fear. And anytime something is produced, this agenda is presented in such a way that causes you to react in fear, you need to pause, because we belong to Dad. We are property of the Most High. We are His sons and daughters. We are His hands and feet. We are His beloved creation, made lovingly in His image. Fear, there's only one thing we're supposed to fear, and that's Him. That's Dad. That's it. Everything else, all this man-made bullshit, it might seem scary, but it's not of the Father. So remember that, right? If they are trying to control this narrative to get you to be scared, why? What's the agenda? Why? I recently put up on Patreon Brother Saw's talk about the five whys. You should go watch that video. It went up a few days ago from our annual Men's Retreat Arming the Saints 2023. And he does a phenomenal job explaining the five whys and why you should keep asking why five times deep. Because if you do, you get to the root cause of the issue, not your reactivity to the issue, but the root cause of the issue. Why do they want people afraid? Because afraid people, scared people, are much easier to control. So remember, we're not given to a spirit of fear. Also understand, again, and I'm going to hammer this again because we're looking at the economic impact of the global socioeconomic condition of the world today. Small businesses operate on debt are struggling more and more to compete with larger entities. I would admonish you strongly, please don't operate with debt. We don't do that with Refuge Medical. We don't do that with Grindstone. We don't do that with Caleb House, because foundational cornerstone supposition here, beholden to no man. If I own it, it's a lot harder to take away from me than if the bank owns it and I miss a payment. So, for example, 8 months ago, 10 months ago, we shifted our business model to where we don't sell anything we don't currently own and have in stock. And that was done intentionally because I own my inventory as an asset. And believe me, after talking to my CPAs, it's an asset. Unfortunately, a taxable asset. And so if you find yourself in that position, you're going to experience something that's called phantom income. And it's obnoxious AF, because this current federal regime will tax you on the value of your inventory, comma, it's better to have it and then be able to sell it than to not have it and to be robbing Peter to pay Paul. Same thing with our building. We bought our building so you can't kick me out of here, right? It's mine now. If I miss a payment and I'm on a payment schedule with the bank, they throw me out. But if you own it, if you're not operating in debt, it's way harder to take that from. It gives you a higher level of autonomy. You can operate more efficiently in this beast system. Their claws are not as deep into you. Back to the brief. There was a Senate Banking Committee hearing this week. There, Senator Elizabeth Warren, Pocahontas, you may remember her. By the way, this is astounding. I am 256 times more Native American than she is. 256x the amount of Indian blood in me as there is in her. And as you can tell, it's not a robust amount because I have a beard. But I digress. Senate Banking Committee hearing this week, there Senator Elizabeth Warren asked Federal Reserve Chairman Jerome Powell, quote, if you could speak directly to the 2 million hardworking people who have decent jobs today. By the way, is that your aspiration for life? Decency? Just want a decent job, man. Decent. No, see, you were made to be a nation of kings and priests. Right? Why do we have banners that hang up in our offices that say no peasant shit? Because that's a very, very low bar, a decent job. You were not built for mediocrity. Stop engaging in it. Do meaningful shit. Aim for the highest possible goal that you can attain. And yes, it will be uncomfortable. Yes, it will be challenging, but so is doing nothing. So is engaging in mediocrity. So if it's going to be hard, no matter what, and it is, by the sweat of your brow, you will earn your bread, right? Go read Genesis. It's going to be hard. Might as well be hard and good. Might as well be hard and awesome, not hard and mediocre. So if your benchmark for success is a decent job, I would encourage you to aim higher than that. Back to what Pocahontas said. If you could speak directly to the 2 million hardworking people who have decent jobs today, who you're planning to get fired over the next year. So that's an indicator, anticipating a loss of another couple million jobs over the next year. What would you say to them? End quote. He replied, quote, I would explain to them that inflation is very high and it's hurting the working people of this country badly. All of them, not just 2 million of them. Oh, no shit. Thanks, buddy. But all of them are suffering from high inflation and we are taking the only measures we have to bring inflation down. We are taking the only measures we have to bring inflation down. Does that mean the economy is going to run off the rails? Not necessarily. Is it possible? Absolutely. What's the rate of possibility? What's the likelihood? I'd give it a coin toss at this point. That's the point of this channel. Bear independent. Be independent of the broken, fragile system. Read the writing on the wall. Not looking so stable out there. While labor market is slowly growing tighter in general, there are still more jobs than people. By the way, now might be the best time ever, if you can, to bootstrap your own business and be your own boss and take as much control of your own life as possible. If you have a good job and a good boss, if you're on an excellent career trajectory, maybe you don't need to do that. But again, if you're barely getting by where you're at, if you're barely making ends meet, right? You're just struggling. Well, newsflash, homie, it's hard either way. Might as well struggle for you and yours rather than struggle to run on the hamster wheel for somebody else every day. So let's read this paragraph again. And if you're new here, I'm very prone to going on tangents and jumping into rabbit holes. I apologize for the disaggregated information that I throw at you, but that's the way my brain works. While the labor market is slowly growing tighter, in general, there are still more jobs than people. However, many people will say that those jobs are not offering what people need to make ends meet as inflation presses in on their finances, and so many individuals are working more than one job just to get by. Tech and finance companies have been slashing their workforces while other sectors continue to grow. One Bear National, that's y'all, wrote in and said, quote, I have worked in aviation my entire life. The aviation industry is in shambles right now. I get emails and calls daily from contract companies offering tens of thousands of dollars in hiring bonuses for qualified people. Companies are paying top dollar for unqualified workers. My current company is offering over $30 an hour for Jiffy Lube techs to come in and work on planes. Shortages of all kinds. Generic sealant is now at dangerous levels, meaning it is no longer free stock. As a hangar, we have a sealing day where everyone uses and shares sealant. Otherwise, it is virtually unobtainable. Customer executive jet visits have become warranty work only. Even the biggest companies in the world will not authorize simple repairs and labor costs, quote, which explains why I would much rather drive in the country than fly in a plane. As Mr. Toad said, me not fly. Agreed. Miss Amy said, untrained people working on planes. What could go wrong? Precisely. Precisely. You're reading my mind, Miss Amy. Now, before we do the national intel that was sent in by y'all to intel@bearindependent.com, I briefly want to look at, see what I did there? An article from The Hill. Russia unleashes massive missile attack on targets in Ukraine. And we're gonna get to the meat of this, again, understanding that all of this is propaganda always. Russia battered Ukraine with a massive rocket attack of missile strikes that hit critical infrastructure and residential buildings across the country, Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky said. Quote, it's been a difficult night, a massive rocket attack across the country, attacks on critical infrastructure and residential buildings, end quote, Zelensky said in a Telegram post. The enemy fired 81 missiles in an attempt to intimidate Ukrainians again, returning to their miserable tactics. The occupiers can only terrorize civilians, he added. Another quote from Zelensky. The Ukrainian president said attacks targeted several regions throughout Ukraine, including Odessa, Dnipro, Kharkiv, and Zaporizhzhia, which houses Europe's largest nuclear power plant and the capital city of Kyiv. Some people were injured and killed in strikes, Zelensky said. Oh my gosh, I clicked the pop-up. We all gonna die. Other top Kyiv officials quickly turned attention to protecting the country's energy infrastructure and restoring power to affected areas. Quote, despite thousands of Russian attacks, we will all together ensure the invincibility of Ukraine. We are working, we will win, end quote, the president said. Ukraine's chief commander of the armed forces, Valery Zavarov, said Russia shot 81 missiles and 8 Shahed drones into Ukraine on Thursday, according to the Associated Press. The Shahed is an Iranian drone. It's old school, low technology, long range, loud, large, and dumb. But it works. It works really well. Imagine like a radio-controlled plane, like one of those model planes, with a bomb strapped underneath it. That's essentially what the Shahed is, but it's low tech, it works. And because it's low tech, it's harder to jam. Yeah. The onslaught of strikes comes as Ukraine defends the embattled town of Bakhmut. Reuters reported that Russia's defense ministry said it carried out the new strikes in retaliation for an alleged raid last week in a village in the Bryansk region of Russia last week. So, Ukraine or Russian attack on Ukrainian civilian infrastructure and residential areas. The reason I bring this up is yet again to illustrate that in this fifth generation warfare that we are experiencing right now globally, where everything's on the table, including asymmetric warfare, information warfare, psychological warfare, conventional warfare, terrorism, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. The power grid and civilian infrastructure is not off the table when it comes to target packages. I know from firsthand accounts that medics and ambulances are being specifically targeted in Ukraine. But yeah, but that's not allowed per the Geneva Convention. Nobody cares about the Geneva Convention. You're also not technically allowed to shoot soft targets with a 50 cal per the Geneva Convention. But if you're aiming at the bush that they're standing next to and you accidentally hit the soft target, sorry, boss, right? But medics and ambulances are being intentionally targeted in Ukraine right now. All targets are on the table. And so the idea of a civilized war, should anything ever break out here in the United States of America, and this is why I bring it up, the idea of a civilized war where civilian infrastructure is not attacked, take that, throw it out the window. And that goes back to the fragility of the system. I'm telling you, our grid is barely hanging on. Most of the infrastructure in this country, highways, bridges, hydroelectric dams, et cetera, is 50 or more years old. It's not going to take too much of a concerted effort to knock all that infrastructure offline. And I just want you to onboard that into your mind. It's 100% happening on the other side of the globe right now, and it could potentially 100% happen here. And again, I don't tell you that because I want to scare you. You're not given to a spirit of fear. I tell you that because I want you to onboard that information and take the appropriate courses of action to mitigate that risk in your daily lives as you work on your preparedness journey. Wow, that was a mouthful. All right. I want to do a little bit of bonus intel, but I'm going to ask you to speak quietly amongst yourselves for a half a minute because I need to go pee in the potty. I'll be right back. Okay, Bear. All right, guys, hold on. '80s animal. Where is Bear? I'm right here. Open nine eyes. Bear Independent bonus intel from y'all. Intel at bearindependent.com. These are all quotes. I'm not going to say quote over and over again. So just know that these are all quotes. I work for a very large private EMS agency in the greater Atlanta area. We have been having multiple supply chain issues as of the last year or so, both of medications and hardware items. EMS response times are falling apart, and it's not because of the good men and women in uniform trying to do their job. It's because of supply chain. It's because of budget. It's because of labor force, et cetera, et cetera. Be your own first responder. You guys know we talk about this all the time here. Equipment and training, be your own first responder. This is not due to financial issues with the company, as the company is fairly well off. This seems to be stemming from a supply chain issue or a manufacturing issue. Yep. I can also tell you for a fact, the DLA, Defense Logistics Agency, which is a subset of the DOD, to the Department of Defense, is stockpiling stuff like you wouldn't believe. And so if DOD, which I know firsthand, personally, if DOD is stockpiling stuff like you wouldn't believe, my brother Saul would say in the intel community, we call this a clue. What should you be doing? Yeah. I will include in the transcript that the company sent in a company-wide email yesterday from one of the directors of the company. And here's the email. As you are aware, over the past several years, there have been various pharmaceutical items that have either been discontinued from production or have had disruptions in the supply chain that limited production of the drugs. You know, like medical drugs, not like, you know, heroin. This directly impacts patient care and our ability to provide the medication is but outside of our control. We currently have an interruption in our availability of ketamine and midazolam, but we are anticipating midazolam soon. Okay, so ketamine is an anesthetic. It puts you to sleep and it's used to relieve pain. Like you just got into a wreck and your leg is missing, ketamine. Right, that kind of thing. And midazolam is a sedative. It reduces anxiety, and it's extremely common usage by paramedics on ambulances. These are both drugs that are going to be pushed in with a critical patient, trauma type medicine, to reduce anxiety, to potentially put the patient to sleep, to relieve pain. And there are critical shortages of this. Back to the letter. This shortage is affecting healthcare agencies nationwide, including hospitals and emergency medical services. We've been ordering as much as possible from numerous pharmacies, but as the current stock is being depleted, all healthcare agencies are having difficulty in obtaining these medications in their formulations. Ketamine. Currently, we're having difficulty getting ketamine and want you to consider using fentanyl as the preferred analgesic in appropriate patients with no contraindications. Therefore, we need to conserve ketamine and use it judiciously. We are also reducing the PAR level in the controlled substance down to one vial so we can keep as many boxes stocked as possible. One vial. Negative. See, typically, you know, ketamine and midazolam, it's like Oprah. Everybody gets some. You look under your chair, oh my gosh, it's ketamine, right? Not anymore. One vial. You have one vial. Midazolam. Currently, we are having difficulty getting midazolam, but anticipate a shipment to arrive soon. We will not have any current rationing of midazolam yet, but please be aware of the potential for it to be in short supply and use it judiciously as well. We expect we will have other medication formulary challenges, but we'll work to keep you updated as much as possible. And then an email from the EMS company's president about a week ago, 2 weeks ago. I would like to bring to everyone's attention that the Georgia EMS market is currently suffering from supply shortages and disruption in the greater supply chain. By the way, we hear from emergency medical workers all across the country and the globe, and this is worldwide. You know, we hear from them in Canada, we hear from them in California and Texas and Illinois, and this is Georgia. And so in the mouths of two or three, let a thing be established. Below are some of the back-ordered items. Lancets, 18-gauge IV catheters, 6-inch ACE bandages. Got those at refugemedical.com. Emesis bags, infant pulse oximeters, Refuge Medical. King Vision blades, 3-quart sharps containers, patient restraints, albuterol. Are you having acute anaphylaxis? Is your windpipe closing? Are you incapable of breathing due to an allergic reaction? Need to open up the bronchial, bronchial. Sorry, first cup of coffee. Albuterol, man. This is what they give to your kids when you get the little breathing treatment machine. Albuterol, because it opens up the airways. It's a steroid. Yep, don't have any of that. Amiodarone, which is used to treat life-threatening ventricular arrhythmias. Life-threatening ventricular arrhythmias, heart problems. I wonder why there's a shortage of amio. I mean, has anything happened that's causing acute heart failure? Yeah, I mean, in the last couple of years, maybe. I might have missed something. I'm not entirely sure what it is, what it could be. But anyway, completely unrelated, there's an international shortage of amio. We are actively working with our vendors to find other solutions while the shortages are occurring. And another bit of intel sent in from Michigan. Different thought, shifting gears, although still super relevant to us. Southeastern Michigan ice storm from a first responder's perspective. Just thought I would send you all an email with my perspective, experience, and lessons learned. Just my background to start, I've worked in public safety for almost 20 years in Michigan. I'm a firefighter, paramedic, and most recently began working as a police officer. Bravo Zulu, brother, good job. That's quite a resume. I say that to preface, as I am not new to storms or local community-sized disasters. The recent Michigan ice storm showed over 750,000 people without power. Do you have backup generation? Any backup generation? Do you have any heat, alternative heating methods? The amount of calls I had to field the other day was more than I have ever responded to at my local department. I was lucky because many times I am working alone, but I had a partner the other night. We had multiple large trees and branches down, preventing the passage of an ambulance or fire truck through the area. One of the main roads out of the city was completely blocked by large trees across the road. And he has this in all caps. Keep your cutting tools ready to use. There's a reason I carry a minimum of one chainsaw on my truck at all times. I have two currently. Steel MS-362 20-inch bar running steel RS full chisel, and a steel 391 running a 25-inch bar steel RS full chisel, and chaps and helmet and ropes and come-alongs and chains and scrunches and files and fuel and bar oil and axes and felling wedges and all the other things that go with the chainsaw that live on my truck. And it's not just because I'm the president of Grindstone Ministries and we go deal with tornadoes and hurricanes. It's because I live rurally. And stuff like that happens more than one might think. I have it on my truck, ready to go. In fact, we were going to Caleb House, our juvenile restoration facility. And on the way to Caleb House, there had been some straight line winds the night before, and we couldn't get into property because on the county roads, there were trees down all over the road. So it was myself and my truck and my brother Dudley in the dump truck, and we had to hop out and clear trees from across the road simply so we could get into where we were trying to go. Just because you aren't landscaping does not mean you're not going to need your cutting tools. Check your gear. Power lines blocked other parts of the city. Many power lines were down across the road, one blocking access on or off an island. As stated on this channel, Bear Independent, many times, you are your own first responder. There was no way for an ambulance, patrol vehicle, or fire engine to access that area. This bears repeating. I could not access you even if I tried. Talk about this all the time. We've deployed Grindstone 36 times in the last 4 years. Somebody said spikes. Chad Dolan said spikes. You mean climbing gear, tree gaffs, a harness, an adjustable wire core lanyard, some Prusik loops, some carabiners, 150 foot of stable braid. No, definitely don't have that. Don't know what you're talking about. That definitely doesn't live on the truck as well. There was no way for an ambulance, patrol vehicle, or fire engine to access this area. That bears repeating. I could not access you even if I tried. I should add that many people figured they would just drive over the power lines. They figured it would be okay and wanted to argue with me. I told them once they drove over to make sure they were ready to meet Messiah. Please don't drive over down power lines. What I learned as a veteran prepper, many are woefully unprepared when it comes to heating their homes in a power outage. This is Michigan, where we have a real winter every year. Have a plan and have a backup. Understand that when caution tape and barricades are set up after a storm, this is not like wearing a mask. They are there to keep you from being electrocuted or having a tree fall on you. So please don't go around barricades. Many people also lack basic ways to recharge their phone, and they lack medical supplies. We had people that had to be moved out of the city because there was no way to power oxygen concentrators or call for help if they needed portable O2 switched out. Basic prepper stuff, boys and gerbils. Basic prepper stuff. Have a plan. Execute the plan. Try it out. That's part of why I love doing disaster relief for many reasons. But you can't find a better training opportunity for preparedness than to go into a non-permissive environment where there's no power, there's no commo, there's no fuel, there's no food, there's no law enforcement, there's no emergency medical services, there's none of that. It's been destroyed. Take your systems, go into that environment, and then functionally operate to do good, to be a blessing to other people and pressure test your systems. It's amazing. It's tremendous. You learn so much by doing that. So that's the brief for today. If you're one of them fine Americans that jumps off when it's time to talk about how to support the show, this is your invitation to beat feet, skedaddle, get out of here. Have a blessed day. Shalom. As for everybody else, we're going to talk quickly about Patreon, Refuge Medical, Refuge Training, and Grindstone Ministries. On Patreon, a couple of days ago, you know, we talked about economic issues today. I said a couple of times, hey, maybe you should consider being your own boss. Well, on Wednesday morning, I put up a video called Starting a Business, about a half an hour long. One of the patrons asked and I answered. And there's some really good information in there if you're considering that. Patreon's $5 a month, $5 a month. There's a link to everything I'm about to discuss in the description of this video, this live stream, and every other video and live stream here, okay? I'll stay. I don't give up. Thank you, Mr. Toad. How to start a business. That video is easily worth $5 on its own, okay? Also, this morning, the March Q&A video went up, answered several various questions on there. What's my favorite time signature to play drums in? And how do you know what equipment do I recommend to produce content and so forth and so on? So you can check that out. Link's in the description. It's $5 a month, and there's 20 or more exclusive pieces of content per month at Patreon, okay? Refuge Medical, refugemedical.com. Link in the description. It's Friday. It's payday. If your medical needs are not fulfilled, if you don't have what you need to have, I would encourage you today to go to refugemedical.com, do some window shopping, maybe throw something in a cart, maybe even check out. Entirely up to you. You get to choose whether or not you want to engage with our American-made small businesses. But I love you if you do, because that helps us feed the 23 families that we have working with us. We make everything here. Every stitch, every grommet, every piece of fabric, every thread is made here. It's guaranteed forever. And it's made by real Americans that we pay a living wage to. If you break it, I'll replace it at no cost to you. If you use the contents of your kit to save somebody's life, I will replace them at no cost to you. When we say something is in stock, that means it's under our roof. We own it, and I will send it to you today. Now, our store closes at sundown today because we observe the Sabbath Friday night through Saturday night, so the store is closed. So you can either get it before sundown today, or you can come back after sundown on Saturday, Shabbat. That's entirely up to you. Todd K. said, Refuge Medical was the only business that ever called and texted me about my order. Customer service above all others. Bless you, brother. Thank you. We take the customer experience very, very seriously. It is our goal to have, and I submit that we do have, the best customer service in the industry. So I'm going to quickly show you the Bear Fac. There are many like it, but this one is mine. This is the Bear Fac Bear First Aid Kit. This is the version 3.0, okay? Got a soft T, Committee on TCCC recommended windless tourniquet on the outside here. I've got a set of North American Rescue shears here on the outside. The outer is made of durable ballistic nylon. This gives you your portability and your durability. Obviously, it's Molly compatible, Powell's Wedding compatible, but you can mount this on anything. On anything, okay? Yeah. The way this works is you pull this open like so, ta-da. You grab the red handle and you pull the inner out of the outer. And now I'm holding in my hand, right? See, two different pouches. Now I'm holding in my hand, not attached to my body where I can't get at it or mounted on the truck where it's 40 yards from the casualty. I'm holding in my hand a purpose-built, American-made. Look at the screen. See that? Made in the USA? We take that very seriously. American-made, capable first aid kit that I can open with one hand if I need to, because I might be missing the other one. It's got everything I need inside of it to work the March algorithm, massive bleeding, airway, respiratory, circulation, head injury, hypothermia, and everything else. So I've got a tourniquet and a pressure bandage here for massive bleeding. I've got my medical tape right here. Good one-inch surgical tape. Got a Sharpie. I've got a pair of gloves because if it's wet and not yours, don't touch it. In the back right here, there's a pouch. Ta-da. See that little pouch right there? This is what we call our stack. So I've got my shears. I've got my nasopharyngeal airway. Just posted a video on Patreon yesterday about how to use one of these. Okay. Also, you can check out the Refuge YouTube channel on how to use one of these things or use the entirety of this kit. So this is for maintaining a patent airway so that air can go in and out. I've got two big 5x9 gauze pads, because if I need big gauze, I need it now. I've got two chest seals, left and right, in and out, two chest seals. And I've got a burn tech dressing right here, because burns are a common modality of injury in the workplace, but also in motor vehicles. And of course, statistically, the most dangerous thing you do as an American is drive. And statistically, 9 out of 10 preventable deaths in the United States of America are due to uncontrolled bleeding, which is why we have the March algorithm, which starts with massive bleed. Now, in the bottom pocket down here, there's another pocket right there. See that? In the bottom, I've got my quick clot, hemostatic impregnated gauze for wound packing if I've got a critical bleed, and I've got my trauma pack. So I've got gauze here, compressed gauze for wound packing or for wrapping injuries. I've got a Mylar blanket. I've got Curlix, aka rolled gauze. I've got a triangle bandage. I've got an eye shield and an eye pad, 2x2, 4x4, and 5x9 gauze pads. And if you look very closely right here, you'll see some fold flat duct tape because it sticks to everything, including blood, sweat, and tears. And if you'd like an indicator that duct tape's important, I'd be happy to tell you that the United States Marine Corps, as of a couple of months ago, started adding duct tape to all of their individual first aid kits. I wonder where they got that idea. It's almost like there's some MARPAT-clad crayon eaters out there who are rocking Bear Facts, and somebody said, hey, that's a cool idea. What's up, Devil Dogs? Semper Fi. So that's the Bear Fact 3.0 from Refuge Medical. Your promo code's Bear Nation for free shipping on everything in the store. Everything is HSA and FSA eligible. Check it out. Bear Fact Raw. That's right, Crangasso. Refuge training. As you know, we teach civilian tactical medicine. At least for you, civilian tactical medicine. We also teach agencies, organizations, the government, the Department of Defense, and anybody else who's not a scumbag who wants to learn the fine art of how to not die, okay? There are a handful of remaining public classes left on the calendar right now. Please go to refugetraining.com and look for a class, the nearest class that you can find to you, and come to class. Because I can teach you here on video, but that's not the same as instruction. What you're getting right now is information. Instruction means I'm standing next to you, watching you doing it, correcting you in the moment. And so if you don't know how to use this kit and work the March algorithm, massive bleeding, airway, respiratory circulation, head injury, hypothermia, everything else, if you don't understand that algorithm and how to work it, please come to class. Refugetraining.com. Your promo code works there for a percentage off as well. Promo code is Bear Nation. And if you need a private class for your agency, your organization, your church security team, your mutual assistance group, your prepper team, thank you, Ken Clark. Bless you, brother. Your business, whatever it might be, your trucking company, construction company, whatever. If you need a private class from Refuge Training, we do those. That's part of why there's not a ton of public classes available right now, because we have a lot of private classes to do. You can email sales@refugetraining.com if you need a private class. D Brand said, best training anywhere, period. Thank you, brother. I have had no less than 6 Green Berets come to class, take the class, and tell me this is the best civilian medical class they have ever seen. And they can't believe the amount of knowledge that we're teaching to civilians in the civilian class. So let other men sing your praises. 6 steely-eyed Green Berets have come to class and said that. We've had Naval Special Warfare dudes come to class and tell us that. Marines, right? Recon, sit in the civilian class and go, damn, dude, this is better than the combat lifesaver class that we were required to take. All right. So we pack as much information as we can into a block of instruction so that you can develop the automaticity and learn the March algorithm so that you can do it under stress. So check that out, refugetraining.com. Lastly, but certainly not least, grindstoneministries.com. If you go to grindstoneministries.com or you follow the link in the description, you'll find out more about our 501c3 federally registered not-for-profits. We don't use our 501c3s like most other people do to wash funds and for tax breaks. We use them to yod, to do stuff. Grindstone is a disaster relief ministry. When there's hurricanes or tornadoes, we deploy Grindstone and we go and take care of people who were barely getting by last week and this week don't have a house. We've delivered tens of thousands of hot meals, hundreds if not thousands of tons of food. We've moved tens if not hundreds of thousands of tons of debris. We've deployed 36 times in approximately 4 years at this point, all across the country, all volunteer labor. All of those donations go towards helping the people who need help, not supporting an incredibly large, bloated organization. Like a lot of these 501c3s, you look at their spending and like 80% goes to administration and 20% actually goes to works. No, man. Our statement of faith is yod, do stuff. Your funds go to works. And Grindstone is one of our 501c3s. The other is Caleb House. We are in the process of building out the Caleb House website, but right now you can find out more information from Caleb House at grindstoneministries.com. Caleb House is our juvenile restoration facility for human trafficking survivors. Bless you, Hypno. Those are big words to say. It's a place where we bring kids who have been serially raped and trafficked so that we can break generational curses and forsake not the widow and the orphan. So we can put them back together again, because hurt people hurt people. And each offender is responsible for 82 victims. Think about that. So when we help these kids get their life back, not only are we saving them, each one of them, and I've got 24 kids in my care, ages 1 to 19 right now. Not only are we saving them, we're saving the potentially 82 other people who could be hurt by them if we don't fix them. That's what Caleb House is all about. We are in the process of building that restoration facility. Currently have a network of safe sites where we have our people, where we have these kiddos. My goal is to build a facility where we can house all of them in a house parents model on site with staff on site. It takes money and I'm trying to find it. I'll be completely honest with you. You can buy Caleb House swag at the link down below, t-shirts, long sleeves, hoodies. That helps us build Caleb House. The proceeds help us build Caleb House. Our brother saw the Facts Not Feeling shirt from Sanctified Supply Co. The proceeds of that helps us build Caleb House. And of course, there's links in the description. But by and large, we are funded by y'all. And that's incredible to me, because we wouldn't be in a position to do what we do without you, without your help. Thank you. From the bottom of my heart, thank you. Because we have never gotten a dime from anybody else. No government, no agency, no organization, no foundation, nobody else has ever given us a dime. And we have been empowered only by the Most High and by y'all to do what we do. Broken jars hold water. Bless you, CS. Man, that's a long time ago reference. Bless you, brother. So thank you. Thank you for supporting what we do. Thank you for supporting our small businesses. Thank you for supporting our ministries. Thank you for pouring out your love. I couldn't do this without you. You guys and girls are the best. The last thing I want to leave you with is, if you did not see the live stream that we did with Ben from Suspicious Observers yesterday, check that out. That was a really good show. It's here on the channel. You can just... It went up yesterday about noontime. So shout out to Ben. Shout out to everybody who came over from the Suspicious Observers channel. Welcome. You may find here that we're a little bit different than every other YouTube channel. And we are unapologetically peculiar. And I'm cool with that. But you'll also find, I think, that there's not a better audience on the face of the world than the Bear Nation. And we, on this side of the camera... because it's we, it's not me, it's we. I am surrounded by a team of awesome people. Bless you, Joe Williamson. We, on this side of the camera, take very seriously the calling that the Father has put on our heart to be his hands and feet, to be a conduit, a pipe for blessings, to let the living water flow to the best of our ability, to live our lives in such a way that puts a smile on the Father's face, and to encourage and instruct others to operate at that level, to go out into the world and be the light. We're not like any other YouTube channel, and I think that's phenomenal. So, with all that being said, it's Friday. It's day of prep. Y'all go get some. Make the Father smile today. Do the things and be the light. I love y'all. Shalom. Bless you, Stephanie. Shalom.